Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, we are in week three of this series on our core value, talking about being equipped for service. You know, it was about 100 years ago that a guy named Henry Varney was preaching one Sunday morning, and he said this statement. It's a pretty challenging statement, something along the lines of this. He said, "The world has yet to see what God can do in and through a person who is fully committed to Him." Think about that. The world has yet to see what God can do through a man or woman who completely devotes their life to God. And there was a young man in the audience that day. His name is D.L. Moody. His name might mean something to you. But he heard that preacher make that statement, and D.L. Moody, sitting in the congregation as a young man, he made this vow to God. He said, "I will be that man. I will be the person that commits my life completely to God and whatever He wants to do." And if you know his name, then you probably know his story. He spent just about the next 40 years of his life making an incredible impact on the globe across multiple different continents. It's been estimated that he preached the gospel to over 100 million people, and that thousands were saved because of his ministry, simply because he said, "I will be a person who fully commits my life to Christ." Now, this morning, I want to tell you, fully committing your life to Christ doesn't mean you have to go around the world. Matter of fact, I've said many, many times, it's not about the distance you travel, it's the difference you make. And I want you to know this morning that God can use you to make a difference in this world that we live in for God's purposes. How many believe that this morning? Amen. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's true. God can use you. And so we're looking this month at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The scripture we've been rallying around says this: "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, let nothing move you." And here's the part we talked about last week and this week. It says, "Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord." This morning we're talking about how to give your life fully to God. And specifically this morning, I'm asking this question: how to be the person that God uses. Because I believe inside all of us is a desire to be used by God. When D.L. Moody heard that statement that the world has never seen what God can do in and through a person that's fully committed to God, he wanted to be used by God. He didn't know how, when, or where. He just knew that God wanted to use you. But more than that, friends, I believe in that moment he came to the realization that God wanted to use him. And I pray this morning that you'll come to the reality that God wants to use you as well. And so, to kind of get this idea this morning, how can I be the person that God uses? We're going to look at an Old Testament scripture. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 6, about six or seven scriptures, maybe eight there this morning. And if you got your Bibles, you can turn with me there to Isaiah chapter 6. Here's our text for this morning. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and they were flying. And they called out to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled or full with his glory.' And at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." And here's what Isaiah said when he had this vision. He said, "Woe to me, for I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I've lived among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth, and he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go with us?" And I want to ask you as a congregation, would you say these last few words with me as loud as you can on your mark? Get set, go. I said, "Here am I, send me." Let's say that again. And I said, "Here am I, send me." Father, we pray this morning that you would use us for your kingdom purposes. We pray this morning that we would understand that we are not called to be spectators in your kingdom. We've been called to be participators in your kingdom. Lord, that you want to use each of us to do something great for the kingdom of God. And that work starts in our home, it works through our family, and it definitely impacts everywhere we go in our life. So I pray that today you'd help me, Lord, to speak your word with beyond my own ability, the ability of God, and help us to hear what the word of God wants to say to us. And we'll give you thanks for that. And everybody in the room said amen. So Isaiah had a moment that changed the direction of his life. He had a moment he knew. I just want to take a time out and say this. Isaiah was already a God follower. He was already hearing the word of God, even speaking the word of God. Isaiah chapter 6 is not the first time where Isaiah decided, Lord, whatever you want to do, that's what I'll do. He had already committed his life to being God's man. But he had a new encounter. And this is what I want to tell you this morning, is that don't get bent out of shape. If you may be sitting here this morning, maybe you're frustrated because you've been a God follower for a while, and yet you don't know what the next step to take is. You don't know what is it I'm supposed to be doing for God. You don't, maybe you're frustrated because you don't know what the next thing is. But Isaiah's kind of example for us. He didn't know what the next thing was until we just read what the next thing was. I've just discovered that God often reveals his plan for our life step by step. I know that we wish that he would just like with a 30-second YouTube video, show us everything. You know, we wish it'd be like the GPS in the car, that if you want to, you can scroll through step by step from where you are to your current, to where your destination is going to be. But God doesn't work that way. He often reveals his plan step by step. And I want you to get this morning. He reveals his plan step by step as he reveals more of himself to us step by step. This morning, God wants to reveal more of himself to you. As a matter of fact, let me put my whole sermon in a sentence this morning that maybe can help you hang along with me this morning. Here's my sermon in a sentence, and it's not going to be on the screen, so just hear me out this morning. The clearer we see God, the clearer we begin to see everything else. I want to say that this again. The clearer we see God, the clearer we begin to see everything else. So let me put it to you this way. Are you having issues seeing the next step or the next season of your life? Are you having issues seeing people the way that you know God wants you to see them? Maybe you see people and all you have is hatred towards them. Or maybe you see people and you have bitterness towards them. Maybe you see people and you just see the hurt that they've caused for you. Maybe when you see people, you just see the differences you have, that they're of that persuasion instead of this persuasion. Friends, when you are not seeing people, when you're not seeing relationships clearly, it's not that you need a better grip of who they are. You need a better grip of who God is. And when you see him clear, you'll see everything else in your life clearer. Some of you feel like you're having a ministry problem. And it might actually just be a vision problem with how you see God. Some of you may feel like you're having a marriage problem, when it's actually just a vision problem of how do I see God. Some of you feel like you're having family issues, when it may actually be an issue of seeing God. Matter of fact, Isaiah started this scripture this morning. He said, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. And I've discovered that many times in our life, there's other things that we lift high, and there's other things that we lift mighty. There's other things we place in priority. And because we're lifting up everything else, we can't see that God's high and lifted up because everything else is high and lifted up. Amen? But today, in that moment, Isaiah, he said, I see the Lord. He's high and lifted up. That means everything else in his life came down. And this morning, if you're not seeing God very clearly, I might challenge you to ask yourself and ask the Spirit of God this question. Is there something else I'm lifting up high in my life above God? Because anything we lift higher than God becomes an obstruction to our view of God. Matter of fact, the Bible calls those things idols this morning. All that's free for you. That's not really my notes, but Merry Christmas. It'll help you. Isaiah said, I see the Lord high and lifted up. And the moment he saw God clear, if you were listening to that verse, he immediately saw himself clear. He He saw the condition of his life clearer. He saw the condition of the people around him clearer. And he even saw the mission of God much clearer once he saw God better. And this morning I'm asking the Lord, would you help us, Lord, to see you clear so that we can see everything else clear as well, so that we can be the person that God uses. So this morning I'm just going to simply walk you through how to be the person that God uses. And here's the first thing. We're going to be the person that God uses. The first thing we've got to do is never lose our spiritual curiosity. Now, I know some of you in this room are more curious than the other. Sometimes people even teach us not to be curious, right? Many of you, you're like me. When my mother used to take me to certain stores around town that had, it was full of breakable things, she would tell you, Greg, put your hands in your pocket until we leave this store. And she told me that so often that nowadays, Megan and I might be in the mall and we walk into a jewelry store, into a gift shop that has all this, and I just instinctively, I'm 43 years old and I walk into certain stores and my hands go in my pocket because my mom told me, she is new, I was prone to break things. And sometimes life puts us in the same mindset. We just shut down. We close ourselves off. We feel like that, you know, I've been in church so long, or I've heard so much, I've got so many degrees. If there's something new to see, I've already seen it. And we lose our spiritual curiosity about what God may have for us today. But I want to tell you this morning, God has more for you today. Most scholars agree that this encounter we just read about was not that Isaiah was physically picked up off of planet Earth and placed into the presence of God, or into the tangible, to the real place of heaven, into the physical throne room of heaven. Most scholars believe and agree that this is Isaiah having a vision, that God revealed this whole thing we just read to him in a vision. I believe that's really important for us because I've discovered that we have become experts at dismissing what God tries to show us. If it's just a vision, then it's something, man, what a wild dream that was. Man, what did I eat last night? We try to explain away what God begins to show to us. We begin to think, well, that must be for someone else, or maybe God showed me that so I can tell someone else. But Isaiah didn't push any of that stuff away that God was showing to him. Instead, he responded to what God was showing to him. I want to ask you this morning, when you hear the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, when you hear the Spirit of God, is your first reaction to excuse it or to respond to it? See, the moment we say no to what God is saying to us today, we become deaf to the things that God wants to say to us tomorrow. And the way we hear what God is saying to us today is by responding to what God said yes to us yesterday. We got to be people that are curious about what God has to say. We got to be people like Moses in Exodus chapter 3 when he was out keeping his father-in-law's sheep. The Bible says there was a bush that was consumed, or it was on fire, that would not be consumed. And the Bible says these words. It says that Moses turned aside to go see this thing. What does it let us know? Let us know that he had a little bit of curiosity about what God was up to. We see Peter and Andrew when John the Baptist is baptizing people. They show up. John tells us when Jesus is actually baptized. A lot of us, we think Peter's story starts when Jesus shows up on the seashore and says, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But John reminds us that they had spiritual curiosity before that moment. I just want to ask you, how curious are you when it comes to the things of God? Have you had any curiosity at all to think this, Lord, maybe you can use me? See, a listening ear and a willing heart is key for a person that God can use. And I would just challenge us, let's not become people who requires God to do extreme things to catch our attention. But let's be people who are constantly asking, Lord, what do you want to show me today? We live in a world where information is so easily accessible. We were having a conversation at our house the other day, and I began singing, if you were to put a bug in my house, you'd discover that even though Megan is the the singer. Inside the walls of our house, I do a lot more singing than she does. And I was singing that old gospel song by, his name just left me. But Lord, help me. I see his face, and you've seen the movie. But the song Georgia, Ray Charles. Thanks for your help on that, by the way. I was singing that song, Georgia. And Stella looks at me and she says, Dad, where did Georgia get his name? Was it named after a city? Was it named after a lady? And I don't know. And I just knew it was coming. I just knew Megan was going to Google it. We have all this access to random information. I mean, you don't have to wonder anything. But I fear that sometimes our inundation of information has robbed us of our hunger for more of God. You can find information anywhere, but you can only find revelation one place, and that's from the Spirit of God. And we need the revelation of God, but we've got to have curious hearts. We've got to have hungry hearts. The Bible says, blessed are those who are hungry, for they shall be filled. So God uses those with hungry hearts and curious minds. Here's the second thing. This is great news for me, is that God uses imperfect people. I said earlier, when you see God clearly, you begin to see everything else clearly. And I'll tell you, the first thing you see clearly when you see God clearly is you begin to see yourself clearly. The first few chapters of Isaiah's encounter says, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled his temple. But then he goes into saying, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen unclean things, my ears have heard unclean things, my lips have spoken unclean things, and I live among an unclean people. I'm just saying this, seeing God better helps us see ourselves better. And Isaiah was immediately had to come to grips with the fact that he wasn't perfect. And here's the good news. In order to be used by God, you don't need to be perfect. Matter of fact, there's only one position that required a perfect person to fill. And that was the role of the Messiah. And Jesus is the only one that could fill it. And so he's the one that did fill it. And for the rest of us, God can use us in our broke down, messed up condition. Can somebody say praise God? Amen. Some of us feel like we got to wait till we get our doctorate degree, our master's degree. We got to wait till we get some kind of education or someone's applause or get the right people to like us or get our life completely straight. But I'm here to tell you today that God can use imperfect people this morning. Matter of fact, the word also says that it's in our weaknesses that he is seen strong. So seeing a better picture of God helps us see a better picture of ourselves. Isaiah started this experience. He saw the greatness of God, and he immediately saw the imperfections of his own life. And I want to tell you this morning, I believe that process is a process that should be repeated often. Now stick with me. I hope this morning we spent, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes in song, lifting up the name of the Lord this morning. And maybe you were sitting next to someone who got a little bit more emotional in worship this morning than you're comfortable with. Don't worry, I've sat next to that person too. Sometimes I are that person. And you may be wondering, what is that about? And I can't tell you what it's about, but I can tell you what it should be about. As I believe this process of us worshiping the Lord, when we enter into a corporate worship service just like this, we begin to magnify the Lord. We begin to talk about the goodness of God, how he is our healer, how he is our provider, how he is our savior, how he's taken us from who we used to be and made us into someone else. When we get a clear vision of who God is, what happens next is we get a vision of who we are. And we are not much different from Isaiah. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. We're messed up from the floor up too. Well, that's the King James version of what Isaiah said. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. What initiated? No one is in Scripture telling Isaiah, I saw you on Monday, and I saw what you did on Tuesday and on Wednesday when you were driving mad because that person cut you off and you waved at person with, you know. No one, No one brought that up. He was just in the presence of God. And he saw God clearly. And all of a sudden he saw himself clearly. I'm just here to tell you, that process, if you don't hear anything else, hear this part this morning. That process should be a regular part of our lives. Where we see God clearly. You know, the Word, that's why you got to be in the Word of God every day. I heard one person say, most books we read, but the Word of God reads us. And we need the Word of God to read us. We need the Spirit of God to expose who we are to ourselves. So that we can respond like Isaiah responded. He said, look at me, Lord. I'm a man of unclean lips. And the Bible doesn't say that God fell off the throne in shock. He knew it. And that's why sometimes in worship we begin to lift up the name of Jesus and then we begin to see ourselves as who we are. But then the part when some of us get emotional is when we realized that we don't have to be as we are. And we're reminded that we're not who we used to be. For as far as the east is from the west, God has removed those transgressions from us. Amen? I'm so thankful for that. So thankful you can bring someone from my past and they can tell you some very accurate information about my past. But the truth is today, though that information is accurate, it's not applicable to my life anymore because God's freed me from that this morning. Amen? And so Isaiah says, I saw the Lord, but then he saw himself. And this morning, listen, we live in a world that is, we are crumbling from a loss of identity. You ever heard of the thing called a midlife crisis? I'm kind of in that season where I'm wondering how I should celebrate my midlife crisis. Should it be a convertible or a motorcycle, or should I go skydiving? I told Megan I wanted to take flying lessons, and she said that was out. And you know, but you know, some people that hits them harder. They lose their job. It can happen to anybody, whether you're doing right or doing wrong. We lose certain people in our life, and all of a sudden we're not secure in the way we used to be secure. But I'm here to tell you, if you can learn to see God clearly, you'll see yourself clearly. And you'll understand that your life was never about what you could do. It was never about your job. It was never about the people in your life, but rather it is about who God's called you to be. And it's the fact that you have Jesus in your life. And when you see Him clearly, you'll see yourself clearly. And friends, we need to see ourselves clearly. And that doesn't happen by reading books or going to seminars. It happens by us looking to the Lord. And whatever it is, whatever Isaiah said, I see the Lord high and lifted up. Whatever high thing we've allowed to be lifted up, we cast those things down so we can see God clearly. The enemy tries to blur God's plan for my life and God's plan for your life. He tries to hide our ability to see God. He tries to hide it with pride. He tries to hide it with arrogance. He tries to hide it with distractions. He tries to hide it with hate. He tries to hide it with apathy. He tries to hide it with indifference. He tries to hide it with all these things. Because he knows the moment you see God clearly, you're going to see a lot of other things clearly. So we got to be people that say, Lord, I just want to see you high and lifted up, and whatever I've lifted up in front of you, Lord, tear that down. I heard a preacher say just the other day, he said there's a trap door of pride at the foot of every preacher's pulpit. I walked up this morning, I kind of checked out the stage. He wasn't really talking about a physical trap door. He was just saying it's very easy for anyone to get things between them and God. That's not just true for preachers. It's true for all of us this morning. There's trap doors the enemy puts in your life to try to rob you from seeing God clearly this morning. So we need God to constantly show us ourselves. I know I need to move on from this, but let me just tell you one more story. I got a dear friend of mine, and he would be ecstatic to know I'm sharing a story with this morning, so I'm not betraying any kind of confidence. But I got a good friend of mine, he and his wife, and I'm glad to say this was a decade ago, and they have a fantastic marriage today. But about a decade ago, their marriage was on the rocks. It was about to end. It was, as a matter of fact, she had already kicked him out of the house, and they were in divorce proceedings. It was all over. And my friend was telling me what God did, and I was asking him, man, how did y'all get through this? Because I remember when y'all were going through that. And I asked him, I said, what did you do? He said, I'll tell you what I did. I began to pray. He said, I prayed for her. I prayed for her. I prayed for my kids. He said, I prayed my guts out for about a solid month. And God didn't change a single thing about her or about the circumstance. Until one night, he said, after praying, I finally got quiet. And I'd been pointing out to God all these things that was wrong with her. And finally that night, instead of in prayer, me focusing on her, he said, it's like God focused on me. And he said, for the first time in my life, God showed me me. And friends, we've got to get to a place where we say, Lord, show us ourselves. See, before we can ever minister to someone else, we first have to let the Lord minister to us. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord, but the second thing he saw was himself. And when you begin to see yourself as God sees you, you're going to see yourself as imperfect. But I want to tell you here the second or the third thing this morning is that God doesn't just use imperfect people. God uses forgiven people. Amen. We're all imperfect, but the good news is we can all be forgiven. Matter of fact, Isaiah began to confess all this stuff to the Lord. This is one of your subpoints this morning. Did you notice that there was not one single thing that Isaiah confessed that God did not forgive? Did you notice that? Everything he said, God covered. See, God doesn't just use imperfect people. He uses forgiven people. And the Bible says that the angel, he got some tongs. You know what tongs are like? You use them to flip the hamburgers on your barbecue grill at home. He went and he got a coal from the altar. And he came and he touched Isaiah's lips with it and he cleansed it. And as I was praying over this message the last couple of weeks, I know I get trapped on things I shouldn't get trapped on, but I got stuck on the fact, how come an angel had to use a pair of tongs? I mean, he's an angel, right? Can't he just grab it? And not, I mean, and I began to ask the Lord, God, you just clarify this picture for me. How come he had to go grab? And why couldn't he just use his hands? It's like the Holy Spirit just spoke to me directly. Maybe this isn't for you, maybe it's just for me, but the Holy Spirit just kind of just directly told me, he said, Greg, it's because no person can touch what I want to do in your life but me. Man can't do for you what God wants to do for you. And you can't do for yourself what God wants to do for you. And the Bible says the angel went and he got that coal and he came towards Isaiah, which is a direct implication or a great example of what Jesus has done for us. Since we can't go to God, God came to us through the person of Jesus. And he's cleansed us, or he will cleanse us from everything we submit to him. God doesn't just use imperfect people, he uses forgiven people. And every sin that Isaiah confessed, God cleansed. The Bible says in 1 John that if we confess our sins, that God will forgive us. And the only solution, in case you're taking the notes this morning, the only solution to Isaiah's sin problem was something of God touching him. And a live coal, this is C if you're in your notes, a live coal reminds us that we have a living Savior. See that? That terminology in the Word of God, that live coal, it just represents that it was fresh from the altar, that it was still burning hot. And I want to tell you today that God's love for you is still burning hot. God's love for you is very much alive. The Bible says that Jesus lives right now to make intercession for you and for me because he doesn't just use imperfect people, he uses forgiven people. And that can be you. And it can be me this morning. Here's the fourth thing, is that God uses strategically placed people. Why don't you nudge your neighbor this morning and tell them that God's placed you somewhere for a reason. Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm an unclean person, I have unclean lips, and he says, and I live among unclean people. Isaiah kind of thought that was a problem. I live among unclean people. How many live among unclean? Don't lift your hand. Don't be talking about your family like that. But we all do, right? We live, we work with people who don't know Christ. We go to the store with people who aren't Christ followers. And Isaiah begins, man, I live among people. And what Isaiah didn't know was the people he lived with wasn't a disqualifier for what God wanted to do in him. It was actually the qualifier for what God wanted to do through him. See, God actually sent Isaiah back to the people that Isaiah thought was part of his problems. That's why Jesus said in Mark, he said, it's not the healthy that need a doctor. He said, it's the sick. He said, I've come to seek and save that which was lost. It's the darkest places that needs the light to shine the brightest. And some of you this morning, I know you work in a hard place. You live in a hard place. You rub shoulders with people that are not Christ followers. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we might just pray a prayer, Lord, would you please get me out of this hard place? But it could be that God wants you to shine in that dark place. It might be that he does want you to rub shoulders with lost people on your job and in your family so that you can share with them who Christ is. And here's the last thing this morning, is that God uses those who respond to the call. Megan, if you want to come. As Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 8 says, I heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And he said, here I am, send me. I have to point something out to us this morning. Is that verse number 8 does not say that Isaiah heard the Lord say, Isaiah, I want to send you. You want to look back at the screen or the scripture, either one, and see? The Word of God, the Spirit of God does not call Isaiah by name. You could look at it this way, that Isaiah was just eavesdropping. He was just eavesdropping on what was going on in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord is saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah simply said, here am I, send me. And I bring that up today because I've heard people say, well, you know, I've never really felt God call me to do this or do that. But has he put you in an environment where you became aware of the need? Has he placed you in a place where you see opportunities that you used to not see? Sometimes we feel like if God to use me, I've got to hear an audible voice through the loudspeaker, like when my kids get lost at Walmart.
Greg Sanders to the front desk.
You know, I got to hear that. I got to hear God say,
Brandy, Thomas, Jason, go to Ecuador this Friday at 10 a.m.
We feel like in order for us to God to use us, we got to have something that specific. And yet Isaiah just overhears. Would you say that phrase with me? He overhears. He overhears. God's not even talking to him. He just overhears. God say, who are we going to send? And Isaiah said, hey, here am I, send me. You know, this is get on board season. And in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to pick up that card and think about, ask yourself this question, Lord, I'll be a person you can use. I've got a buddy of mine who's a missionary. I'll close with this little account. But a friend of mine who's a missionary, and before he went on the mission field, he was pastor in a great church here in our state. Just lovely people. Love these people all my heart. And they were in such a great place, doing a great work. When I heard they'd resigned their church to go serve God on the other side of the world, I was like, man, what were they thinking? So I did what any good friend would do. I called him. I said, man, what are you thinking? Don't you need people who will just say, what in the world are you thinking after you take a step of faith? I just wanted to be that guy. And so I said, what's going on? Why are you doing this? And he really kind of messed up my, changed my way of thinking. He said, well, Greg, you know, we go every year to a different place around the world. And this year we went to this place and I saw this great need. And I thought, you know what? Here's a need. I have the ability. So why wouldn't I go? Some of us, we want the audible voice. When Isaiah he didn't hear God say, Isaiah, go do X. He just saw that God needed X done and said, here am I. Send me. So today, we want to be a church that's not waiting on someone to grab us by the arm. And we don't really want to be a church full of people that have to have God say, yo. Because that, we talked about that last week, that doesn't always go well when God has to grab your attention like he did the Apostle Paul's. We want to be people that are just, say, Lord, here am I. Send me. And here's the good news. When Isaiah said, send me, the Lord didn't say, well, first you got to do this, that, and the other. He just said, let's do it. He sent him. And so this morning, this is Get On Board, and we're asking the Lord to speak to us this year about being people who are sent, people who are living on mission. And so I do want to ask you right now, if you would reach in the chair in front of me, get out this card. I know many of you were here last week. We did this exact same thing last week. So thanks for doing that. Thank you. We had tons of new people sign up last Sunday, but then we also had new people sign up. They never signed up before. We know God's going to use you mightily and greatly for signing up, but we believe that every person in the room is a person God wants to use. I want to say that again. I believe every person in this room is a person that God wants to use. And you are unique. You are distinct. You are different than I am, and I am different from you are, and some of you are thanking God for that. But here's the deal. God wants to use all of us. And at the bottom of this page, someone said we need magnifying glasses to see it, so forgive us of that. But on this very bottom page in this section, there's a place that we want to ask you to serve. To check a couple of these boxes and say, you know what? I think I can serve there. You know, I think I can serve there. And say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me wherever you want to use me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer about giving your life to service. This month is about being equipped for service. And when you volunteer to serve God, he's going to use you in ways that are beyond yourself. Isaiah discovered something about God he never discovered himself. And he said, Lord, here am I. Here I am. Use me. Send me. So I want to ask you to take that card. I want to ask you to pray with me. And then we're going to change the order of the service. Father, in this room this morning are people that you want to use. They're gifted. Lord, they have abilities that are extraordinary, and they're being used for extraordinary purposes, but Lord, some of these giftings you want to use for God purposes. And Lord, the first step to seeing you do great things in our lives is often just a step of saying, Lord, here I am. Send me. Use me. Whichever way. And Lord, you do so much when we just surrender to whenever, whatever, wherever. So we just let that be this moment. Whatever, whenever, Lord, we just say, Lord, sign me up. Here I am. Use me. Send me in this moment. In Jesus' name.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.